Back on Tuesday, Democratic Senate leaders reintroduced their Michigan 2020 plan that proposes to guarantee college tuition for all Michigan high school graduates. Senator Rebecca Warren from Ann Arbor is one of the proposal's lead backer, and she joins us now to update the whole effort. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Mark. Thanks so much for the invitation to be with you this morning.
That's quite all right. It's our pleasure. Your party yesterday identified the 2020 proposal as its highest legislative priority. Why is that number one?
Well, let me tell you a little story about the district I represent. I represent the bulk of Washtenaw County. I have two of the 15 public colleges and universities in the district that I represent, the University of Michigan and Eastern Michigan University. And I have two striking statistics. I have the largest concentration of Michigan citizens with a bachelor's degree and above, and I have consistently one of the lowest unemployment rates in the state. So those two things don't happen in a vacuum. We know that the best indicators of people's future employment success in terms of the money they will make over a lifetime and the ability to have a job that is not as subject to the whims of sort of cyclical economic pressures is making sure that they have that higher education. So for us, we really believe one of the best things we can do to invest in our future is make sure that our young people who are today working hard, motivated, doing the right things, don't let finances be the barrier that keeps them from getting that higher education they need to be successful.
Well, the plan would come up with a couple $1 billion for universal college education for all Michigan high school graduates by eliminating dubious tax loopholes. Last year when I spoke with Senator Gretchen Whitmer, the author of the measure, here's how she put it.
What we do is we create a nonpartisan group of economists to go through all the special interest loopholes that are codified right now and say, this isn't working. This isn't creating jobs, and it doesn't serve a public purpose. It's just a special interest kickback. Let's get rid of it.
So that was Senator Whitmer last year. Is that still how the proposal would work?
Well, I have to be honest, Mark, the technology, the way it worked, I didn't get to hear what Senator Whitmer said. I just got to hear kind of...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Put her on, but,
I'm sorry.
I'll tell you.
I'll be happy to just paraphrase what she said. She said we'll create a nonpartisan group of economists to go through all the special interest loopholes that are codified right now, and they'll say, this isn't working, this isn't creating jobs, and it doesn't serve a public purpose, it's just a special interest kickback, let's get rid of it. Is that still how this would work?
That is still the heart of the plan, and for us, you know, the Constitution is very clear that the state can spend no resources unless the legislature appropriates them, and for every other sector of our the $51 billion enterprise that is state government, we look at every year a budget for every department, for every agency, and we make those appropriations. The only place that's not true are on these tax expenditures, some of which have been on the books for 10 years, for 20 years or more. And this idea to say, first of all, kind of working together, the pieces of the puzzle are that we sunset those tax expenditures. Because sometimes there is a reason at the time when a certain industry is struggling or we're trying to develop a certain industry, we help them with a tax credit, a tax giveaway like that. But if we don't look at it again, you know, a business or an industry we wanted to help 20 years ago might not need the same help today, but they're still getting the tax credit. So, and having a nonpartisan economist look at them and say, you know, a letter grade A to F, is it working? Is it serving a public purpose? Then that gives the legislature, especially in this term-limited environment where some folks might not even, you know, have the ability to recall how these things came to be, gives them a tool to look at whether or not that's something we want to continue. Because to be honest, some of them I think we will want to continue. They're serving a good purpose. They are doing what we want them to do. We just need to be smart about which ones we want to continue.
I'm really intrigued at how you come up with this nonpartisan group of economists. How will that take shape?
Well, I think, you know, we have a lot of wonderful research universities in this state. We have a lot of really talented economists, from academia that are not seen as, you know, as the folks that are sort of hired either by the far right or the far left, but folks who are doing academic research in our research universities, which I think for me is a place where most people can agree the goals are not, you know, as politically pre-spun. You know, they're the folks who are hoping to just get to the right answer. So I think for a lot of us, we're thinking that in the, you know, in the ivory towers of some of the research universities we have, we've got some great economists that we could tap to do this work.
How many do you want to line up? Do you know?
The way that it was put together, I think it's 7.
Okay. And who will select those economists?
That, you know, that piece of legislation is not mine, so I don't know the details of that one quite as well as I do. My bill is the actually creates the grant program, so unfortunately I don't have quite as many details about that piece of the puzzle, how that comes together.
What do you expect to be harder, Rebecca, agreeing on that nonpartisan group of economists or consensus on actually cutting $2 billion worth of loopholes?
Well, a great thing about this package, the way it works together, because the one bill in the package does sunset these expenditures at the four-year mark. So at some point, a legislature wouldn't have to take action to keep them from going away. They would have to take action to keep them. So sometimes it's, you know, the status quo is easy to maintain when there's no push against it. But if those things were to just begin to sunset and fall off, And this current legislature or future legislators had to actually evaluate the program, see if it's working, decide to vote to keep it, that just makes the whole thing a very different conversation than, you know, something that's just been kind of on the shelf and quietly doing its work for whatever period of time, whether it's really effective work or not, it's been there doing it.
According to this morning's Lansing State Journal, there isn't a single Republican signed on for this yet. If you add to that the fact that, well, are these tax breaks geared largely to the business sector then?
No, it, you know, there in the governor's budget that he proposed in February this year, the part of the budget package is the summary of the tax expenditures that we have. There are about $35 billion in tax expenditures in the 2013-2014 fiscal year that we're looking at beginning right now, or the, you know, the budget process for the budget that begins in October this year. And no, they're, you know, some of them are things like, you know, the voter-initiated no sales tax on food and prescription drugs. So things like that that are very much on individuals. And also part of that group, I was saying, of things that we probably wouldn't want to touch that we think have a good public purpose. So some of them are personal. They're the personal exemptions and the, you know, like I said, the food and drug sales tax exemption. But often some of them are on businesses and different segments of the you know, corporate community.
This would be, I mean, this would be a significant breakthrough in bipartisanship if successful. Wouldn't you agree?
I think so, and I think, you know, for us, we have a lot of conversations these days about being, you know, about being very effective and efficient with the state's dollars and making investments that are really going to pay dividends in the future. And this one, for us, we feel like is just such an obvious, the return on investment is so huge, and it's for our students that would have the support to go to college that will keep them here in the state and stop the brain drain of our young people leaving the state, that just the economic activity that we know is generated around our you know, public colleges and universities in the state. The University Research Corridor, which is the name for the University of Michigan, Michigan State University, and Wayne State University, and the work that they kind of generate all together, in 2011 alone, generated $15.5 billion in economic activity, 74,000 jobs. So we know that investing in our students, investing in our universities, has an outcome for not just, you know, a positive benefit to that person who's going to have that degree and be able to get a better job and a more secure job and a better paying job, but for all of us, it has such an impact on the future of the state and the jobs that we can attract. We hear from folks looking to locate businesses in new states and looking at a state like Michigan, the single biggest factor they look at for business attraction is concentration of talent. And the more we can do to send the signal to in this global economy we're in, to companies all over this country and all over the world, that Michigan has the talent, we're going to keep developing the talent, I think that is a big bipartisan message. It is something we should send together and hopefully really change Michigan's future going forward.
And you'd realistically like to see passage this year?
Absolutely. I mean, the reason that we call this the 2020 plan is that we started looking at the things that are happening in Michigan's economy. And there's a recent study that says by 2020, the number of Michiganders that have a bachelor's degree needs to increase by nearly 1 million, by 100,000 and some change, to just maintain the jobs that we have now. Because so many of the jobs that we have, even, say, in manufacturing sector or something where you might not have always needed an advanced degree, now have become advanced manufacturing, where you do need more skills, more training, a degree, a certificate program from a community college, something.
All right. I'm afraid we're out of time, Rebecca, but we really do appreciate your time. Senator Rebecca Warren from Ann Arbor, one of the supporters of the Michigan 2020 plan. Thanks again.